Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. Please be seated. Don't ever get over your salvation. Don't ever get over your salvation. Look with me if you would. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? And what a incredible special. Thank you, ladies. And it is a miracle. Listen carefully. We were headed to a horrible place called hell. Thank the Lord for Jesus. Man, I just... Sometimes you got to wonder why he did it for us, but I'm glad he did. And after being saved for 39 years, I never want to lose that sense of what Jesus did for me. But I don't want to be selfish where I don't give it to anybody else. And that's why we have missionaries heading to that have been serving in Uganda. And that's why we have pastors here, and that's why we have guests here. And I'm sure I'm glad. What a place to be, Hiles Anderson College. Whew. Sometime today, you ought to thank the Lord that we have classes today and that we have chapel today and that we get to serve God here in this place. God's given us a wonderful opportunity. And I'll say that very plainly. None of us know when Jesus is coming back, and as we look out the windows, he could come back today. We need to do all we can for the cause of Christ and allow him to work through us. And so many great friends on the platform and all through the auditorium. I think Brother Jesse Dominguez keeps texting me, and I'm not looking at my text right now. I'll see him after chapel. I need to see you in my office. He'll probably have something to say. Matthew chapter 5. I'm just joking, Brother Dominguez. You were probably praying for me, and I appreciate it. But my phone kept beeping during chapel. I thought, okay, Matthew chapter 5. I think he's here. He's here. Matthew chapter 5. Just making sure he was in chapel on time. So let's move on here. Matthew chapter 5. I'm sorry. Love you, my brother. Verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up in the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples said unto him, or came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I'm going to go back to verse number 6. Would you highlight or underline this verse this morning? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'm going to pray. For the last several weeks, the Holy Spirit has brought me to this passage and brought me to this passage and brought me to the thought. I'm going to ask God for his help today as he speaks through me, but I believe the message that he wants me to bring this morning is, for what are you hungry? For what are you hungry? I'm going to pray in just a moment. My wife and I always joke about it. I tell my wife, I only eat when I'm hungry. There's only one problem. I'm hungry a lot of the time. And speaking about food there, but I ask you the question, and Holy Spirit can do his work this morning. I don't know who needs this message. As a preacher, I never ask God, Lord, give me a good message. Lord, I just say, Lord, would you just work through me? Would you speak through me? I just want to be a vessel. So I'm not sure where you're at this morning. I'm sure some of you are tired. Some of you are exhausted. Some of you have been sick and are now back in the land of the living. Come on now. Some of you have cares. Some of you have worries. Some of you, it's been now a couple of weeks in college and you're still extremely homesick. And you wish your brothers, well, maybe you don't wish your brothers were here, but you wish at least maybe mom and dad were here, or maybe your grandparents were here, or maybe that you were living closer to home, and yet God has called you here and God's placed you here. And I'm going to just ask you this question this morning, and we'll jump into the message after a word of prayer, but for what are you hungry? For what are you hungry? Father, thank you for this time. I count it a and honored at anywhere to preach your word, especially here where there's young people that want to serve you. Oh God, I pray that you'd keep them clean and pure and decent and holy. Oh God, I pray that you'd use them. Oh God, I pray that your touch would be on them. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd speak through them and you'd work through them. We ask for laborers, and you've answered our prayers by sending us college students, Father. Help us to be the example that they need. Use us. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I like going out to restaurants. Anybody else like going out to restaurants? There's something about being at the table when they bring those hot rolls to the table. Do I have a witness? And sometimes they even have apple butter. And I've had people kind of say, isn't it one roll per thing of apple butter, right? You know, the roll's about the same size as the apple butter. And I've seen people in restaurants, they've eaten, like, basket after basket, and then their food comes. And I look over, and they look at me, and they say, I'm not hungry anymore. And they've got a T-bone sitting in front of them. Or they've got a filet mignon, or they've got a chicken parmesan sitting in front of them. And I look at them, and I say, what do you mean you're not hungry? And then they sheepishly say, I think I had one too many rolls. And I'm thinking, I think you had one too many baskets of rolls while I'm sitting there eating with you. You ever had that? You ever been to a place where they have fresh bread and it's sliced and they have the little saucer of, I don't know, olive oil and some sauces and you just kind of dip it in there and you were only going to eat one slice and then you think it's a personal, you know, piece of bread for yourself and everyone else at the table is looking at you eat all of their bread while you're not realizing that everybody else doesn't have that? Or you go to a Mexican restaurant and there's a problem, okay? There's a problem with going to a Mexican restaurant because you always finish your chips and there's still salsa. And then you ask for more chips to finish your salsa, but then you need more salsa for the chips and it comes back and forth. It's amazing how I got your attention this morning. I ask a simple question. If you were able to choose your last meal, don't answer it out loud, please, because some of you are waiting to answer questions this morning. Save that for your fourth hour class. I don't know who's teaching church yet today. But save it for your fourth hour class. But what would you eat if you knew what your last meal was going to be? Don't answer it out loud. Some of you are thinking, I'd have like 16 things. And I remember even when we were my first time in Africa was in Zambia. We'd never been to Zambia. I'd never been into Zimbabwe. And the missionary we were with had only been 1 mile into Zimbabwe. And he thinks, I think we're going to make it. I think we'll be okay. I think we'll manage. And I'm like, you think? Like, how many times have you been to Zimbabwe? And he said, well, I've been there several times. 1 mile in there, and we were going to get 6 hours into Zimbabwe. And so we affectionately called that our last supper. And just in case, you know, we wanted to prepare. And so we were trying to be biblical, and we wanted to, you know, have the last supper. But I ask you the questions. We go back to the passage this morning now that I have your attention. Matthew chapter 5, we see this verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus is an amazing preacher. Jesus is the Word, and I always like when the Word preaches the Word. So I look at this passage here, and obviously for Jesus it was important that we hungered and that we thirsted after righteousness. Now, if you study the word hunger here, or you study the word thirst here, but especially the word hunger, this word hunger has the idea of being famished. Most of us in here have never really been hungry. But I've seen people that were truly hungry. Because we're hungry because we had breakfast, and then maybe we had a snack in between class, and lunchtime's not here yet. So what do we say? I'm hungry. Or we say, I'm starving. Most of us have never seen anyone starving before, but I've seen people who look like they're starving. I've seen them with their bloated bellies. I've seen them with their small legs. I've seen them sit there and they want something to eat. And they're famished. I've seen people on the form field on occasion open up garbage bags that are set on the street. And I've seen them pick food out of it directly to their mouth because they're so hungry. But most of us in here, we're pretty well fed.
God's been extremely good to us. And because God's been good to us, we ought to do something for them. We ought to give them the gospel. We ought to help them out. We ought to give our lives to make an impact and allow God to work through us on the foreign field and here in the United States. Some people have cravings. Some of you really like ice cream. Brother Lapina talked about that, I think, for like half of his message last week. How many of you remember that? Some of you really like chocolate. Some of you could live with just a whole container of potato chips. It wouldn't be very good for you, but you like potato chips. Some people like pie. Some people like spicy foods. And I've seen people, I have a man in our Sunday school class that he tries to make the hotter the salsa, the better. And he calls the regular sauce a tomato sauce, and I just look at him, I'm like, you can tear up your stomach if you want to. I'll eat the tomato sauce if that's what you want to call it. Some people like candy. Some people like Chinese food. Some people like fast food. But that I think about the word, not only the word here, hunger, and how it talks about those that may be famished, but it also is like a craving. Let me ask you a simple question as we jump into the message. What do you crave? If you could have anything you wanted at this very moment, what would you crave? Some of you would be sleep. So don't get it right now, okay? Some of you would be a meal. Some of you would be sin right now. Unfortunately, maybe you find yourself in a backslidden condition, and right now you'd like to have sin. Let me encourage you, don't hunger for things that aren't going to fill you up. The Bible tells us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let me give you some examples in the Word of God of those that were hungry. Look with me at Genesis chapter 6. Hasten there if you would. Genesis chapter 6. God was already fed up six chapters in with people that were here on the earth. And God wanted to be done with everything. He wanted to just, okay, let's call it here. But look at verses 8 and 9. And I wonder if I would have been Noah or you would have been Noah. But look at verses 8 and 9. It says here, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. I ask you the question, are you hungry, as Noah was, for time for God? Are you hungry for it? Is it something that you're starving for? Are you famished for time with God? Noah was, and Noah had no idea that he'd be put in Genesis chapter 6. He just decided, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to do what I can for the cause of Christ. Second of all, the second example I have this morning is Elisha. Look with me at 2 Kings, please. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. How would you like to follow Elijah? How would you like to be the next person that God's going to use in a great way? I like it that Elijah doesn't say, well, I'm not like Elijah. Maybe God can't use me like so-and-so. Let me remind all of us this morning, you're not like anybody else, but God wants to use you. I had to come to the realization that I'm not going to be as tall as most people. I came to the realization that I wasn't going to be as eloquent or as funny as some people were. I came to the realization that I'm not going to look like certain people, and you can praise the Lord for some of that, but I praise the Lord that in different ways God made me who He wanted to make me, and I want to be used by God. As I told the staff one day I got to give devotions, I just mentioned how thankful I am that when I was born with cerebral palsy. And at 6 months, finally God healed me. After a church of 600 people were praying, God healed me. When I woke up this morning, I didn't say, man, I got to go to work. Man, I woke up this morning, I thought, first of all, I can still walk. But I thought, man, I can get up. I'm not sick. I don't have COVID. I've already passed that. And I thought, I get to serve the Lord today. Now, it took me a few minutes to realize who I was and where I was and why I was. Just like it took you some time this morning. But I realized that God has a place. God has a role that He has for me. God has a role that He has for you. And so we look at Elisha here, and he could have been discouraged. He could have been disappointed because of Elijah, but he wasn't. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Verse number 14, you can read the passage later on. Verse number 14, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he went, and when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Listen carefully. This is just a side note as I continue with the message, but can I plead with you, while you're at Hiles Anderson College, make God your God. Listen carefully. There is no reason for a brand new Christian to be more excited about salvation than I am. I have no excuse. Listen carefully. My mom, who's in heaven now, she was a saved lady. My dad, still living, and he's a saved man. My grandparents were saved. My great-grandparents are saved. I believe my great-great-grandparents were saved. Listen carefully. I have no excuse. Often somebody will say, well, a brand new convert, they're excited about salvation. Why can't I be excited about salvation? But guess what? I had to stir it up again this morning. I had to put a few more pieces of wood on the fire this morning, asking God, would you speak through me? Would you use me? But I want to be like Noah. I want to be hungry for a time for God. I want to be like Elisha. I want to be hungry for spiritual influence. Listen carefully. Try not to make a name for yourself. Allow God to make a name for himself through your life. So number one, we see the example of Noah. We see the example of Elisha. We see the example of Moses. Turn there with me if you would. Exodus chapter 33. Don't you want God's presence this morning? He's not going to give you his presence. He's not going to give you what he'd like to give to you if we're full of sin and full of self. And I've been there and you've been there. Let's not stay there very long. It's not a real good place to be. Look at Exodus chapter 33, if you would. Look at verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Verse number 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, and that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Would you look at verse number 14, maybe you'd underline it or circle it there. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Verse number 15 as well, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. You know what Moses wanted? Moses wanted God's presence. Can I ask you a question? Scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want God's presence? How much do you want God to work? Do you want to see what you can do on the bus route or on the local outreach ministry? Or do you want to see what God can do? Do you want to see what you can do during the program? Or do you want to see what God can do during the program? So too often I've made it about me. Too often I've gone out on a Saturday and I've come back to these dorm rooms just like you come back to the dorm room. And it's almost like I know the Holy Spirit never leaves us. But there were many a Saturday I never asked for his help. I knew what visits I needed to make. I knew what callbacks I needed to make. I knew what person I needed to witness to. I knew what street and what doors I needed to knock on. And I came back and God asked me, didn't you need me today? Oh, how embarrassing. Oh, what a waste of time. Moses, hungry for God's presence. Are you hungry for time with God like Noah was? Are you hungry for spiritual influence like Elisha was? Are you hungry for God's presence? When you get married one day, you know what you need in your marriage? God's presence. You know when God gives you children one day, you know what you need? God's presence. I believe these ladies had God's presence with them. I believe their special helped me and probably helped you this morning. You know what they needed today? God's presence. I like Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb, they were hungry to see God's work. In Numbers chapter 32, verses 11 and 12, surely none of the men that came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Those of you that are married in here, would you like it if your wife says, I'm 90% faithful to you? If you're a married lady in here, how would you like it if your husband says, well, most of the time, I mean, I don't know, 9 out of 10 times I'm faithful to you. I don't think any dating couple would want that when they get married. I don't think any married couple want that. And I'll state it very plainly. I don't think God wants that. You know what God wants? God wants some young people that will wholly follow him. Putting sin to the side, putting their desires to the side, putting the flesh to the side, and saying, God, I just want to wholly follow you. And you know, again, we say, but I can't be like somebody else. You don't have to be like somebody else. Just be the person that God's created you to be. So often we try to compare with other people. I remember now I have the privilege of teaching advanced homiletics. And by the way, don't get notes from how I'm preaching today. Don't judge me today. But I sat there. And I remember my advanced homiletics preacher, he never asked me to preach, I don't think, one time in class. I just kind of sat there. He asked me to get up and say my name one time, but I don't ever remember preaching in class. And I was glad. I was like, man, praise the Lord, I didn't have the chance, and I still passed the class, praise Jesus. And I saw some of those guys wax eloquent, And I sat there in chapel or in class and I thought, there's no way I could do that. You know what God confirmed my own spirit? You don't have to. You don't have to. We have this barrier that I've got to be like this person. I've got to be that. I'm glad that our pastor is a pastor that's filled with God's spirit. He's not trying to be anybody else. I love it. I love it. I love our pastor. I love the men with whom I get to serve here at the college. And my wife and I appreciate the ladies with whom we get to serve here at the college. But Joshua and Caleb, they were hungry to see God work. So Noah, he was hungry for time for God. Elisha was hungry for spiritual influence. Moses was hungry for God's presence. Joshua and Caleb were hungry to see God's work. Hannah, I wanted to throw a lady in here to, because sometimes we in our preaching, we give all the illustrations of men, and I don't think it's quite fair sometimes. And so I threw in Hannah here. I'm not sure you'll see many examples that wanted God to answer prayer any more than she did. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh. Notice they had eaten in Shiloh. Just seeing if you're listening. And after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Listen, ladies, God has a place for you in ministry. God has a place for you. God has a purpose for you. I love it that Hannah, what did Hannah want? Hannah wanted a child. But you know what she wanted more than that? She wanted God to answer. Listen carefully. I believe some of the greatest prayer warriors in here are probably ladies. I believe there's some great men that are prayer warriors, but I don't want to minimize that God has given us ladies. God has given us men who love God enough to pray and to seek His face, and I believe God can hear your prayer. Don't ever think, well, I'm just a lady. God can use you. God can hear your prayer. God can answer your prayer. I think about David. I think about David. He was hungry to see God's power and glory. Look at Psalm 63, please. Psalm 63. You see, what does this have to do about me? I'll help you out in just a second. David was hungry to see God's power and glory. In Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2. O God, thou art, what's the next two words? My God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Isn't it great when on your bus ride it wasn't you? Somebody asked who invited them and you say, I don't know, they just got on the bus. I don't know. It was amazing. Days when we were on the mission field and we'd see God work in a supernatural way, somebody would ask me, who brought them? And I'd say, I don't know. And I'd go ask the people. Several times I asked the family, I said, who invited you? And they looked at me and they said, nobody. And I say, how are you here? And they said, we were just walking by and we just saw a church sign and it said Iglesia Bautista Metropolitana and we decided to step in. You know, it was amazing. Not everybody that I invited came, but people that I didn't invite, God brought. Sometimes we think it's about us, and if I'll just work hard, and I think you ought to work hard. I think you see the example from the staff and faculty. They're hard workers, and they're trying to do all that they can for the cause of Christ. But that hard work, when you add to it the Holy Spirit's fullness, is an amazing, amazing combination that God will use in your life or in my life. Psalm 5:3 says, my voice thou shalt hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. You know, many Christians are hungry for the world, though. Look with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16. I ask you, are you hungry this morning? I'm not talking about the dining hall right now. Exodus chapter 16, verse number 3, it says, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hands of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat the bread, to how much? To the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Let me ask you the question. What does Egypt represent? It represents the world. And they said, when we were in Egypt, we were full. But can I just state it very plainly? When you're full of the wrong things, you're not really full. You ever been really hungry, but you found out this bag of chips was on sale? And that's all you had, and you said, I'm really hungry. And you ate quite a bit of it. And you feel a little bit full, but afterwards you're like, oh, I'm not feeling so well. Infirmarized tomorrow. You know, I'm not feeling well. Everybody listening now? Okay. I've been there before, and man, it felt good for the while I was eating, and then all of a sudden, it's like, man, I'm not feeling so well. And that's what happens with the world. Let me ask you the question. What music are you feeding on? What music? Let me ask you, what videos are you feeding on? You ever said something, you say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. No, we didn't mean to say it, but it came in our eye gate or our ear gate and came out our mouth gate because it came from our heart sometimes. And, oh, I didn't mean to say that. No, but it was whatever comes in is going to come back right back out. What we hear, what we see. What words are we feeding on? What friends are we feeding on? Let me state very plainly, the world leaves you hungry. The world leaves you thirsty. The world leaves you empty. The world leaves you wanting more. The world leaves you unsatisfied. The world leaves you lonely. The world leaves you distressed. The world offers you nothing. But listen carefully, when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. But that's your choice this morning. I love that Jesus is the bread of life. John 6:35 says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Psalm 42, verse number 1 says this, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Psalm 84, verse number 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Proverbs 8, verse number 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Psalm 143, verse number 6, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah, or meditate on these things. You know what we need to be hungry for? Hungry for the word of God. Would you look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 8? Deuteronomy chapter 8, please. Deuteronomy chapter 8. For what are you hungry this morning? For what are you hungry? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. Let me stop just for a second there. You know what? The children of Israel got tired of manna. Help me out now. The children of Israel got tired of manna. Bread again. Oh, bread. And you know what they wanted at one point? Give us meat. What did God give them? He gave them quails. You ought to read the story over when what God has given to us is not enough. Can I plead with you? Stay pure, stay clean, stay decent, do what's right. You'll be glad that you stayed in the place where God had you. But I think of it how when God fed them, when God gave them, it was enough for them. It was plenty. But continue reading here. It says, which thou knewest not. Neither, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3, neither did thy fathers know that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. If people could see us physically, how we truly are spiritually, what would we look like? You know, if we walked around today with our masks on, everybody still with me? And you looked physically like you truly are spiritually, I wonder how many of us would be skin and bones. Because we get to see what somebody looks like physically, but you don't really know how I am spiritually. But God does. I like it that God always takes care of us. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 15, and gave us them bread from heaven for their hunger, brought us forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou sworn to give them. Psalm 34:10 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Let me give you a acrostic for the word hungry. These are some things that you can be hungry for. Let me give you a acrostic this morning and I'm done. Letter H, holiness. Letter H, holiness. These are not necessarily in any particular order other than they fall in the acrostic that I have here. But holiness. Can I ask you a question? How holy is your dorm room? How holy are we? How holy is my thought life? How pure are we? How clean are we? How decent are we? You know what God wants? God says, I'm holy. He said, be ye holy for I am holy. You say, what can I crave? What can I be hungry for? I think we need college students, staff, and faculty, all of us, to be hungry for holiness. What should we be hungry for? Understanding. Understanding. You ever been in one of those classes, whether here or in high school or in junior high, and you say, I just don't understand it. Everybody else is getting it, and you're sitting there like, is this Greek or English? Is this Hebrew, or is this math, or is this science, or is this missions? What is this? You know what we need to hunger for? Understanding. And God can give you that understanding. Letter H, we should hunger for holiness. Letter U, we should hunger for understanding. How about hungering for new converts? How about hungering for new converts? You know, as we knock on doors, and we have the privilege now, many of you are on bus routes, but we started the new ministry, local ministry here, and as we knock on doors, not everybody's interested. But man, God's worked on my heart in a very unique way over the last several weeks. As I knocked on one door, and the lady came to the door, and her name was Shannon, and she had three autistic children. And she put a couple of them back, and she said, "I'm listening to you." Big smile on her face, "I'm listening." And I said, I can leave you my number. You can call me later. I can answer questions you might have. We can talk about this later." And she looked, big smile on her face. She said, "No, three autistic children. This is my life." She said, "Everything kind of gets stopped or interrupted and so forth." She didn't get to get saved, but guess what I got to do? Give her the gospel. I got to give her a track. Just across the street, I talked to a lady, and she had worked at the steel mill for 30 years. I wasn't going to arm wrestle her, but she worked at the steel mill for 30 years. She told me her testimony for about 20 to 30 minutes, told me how she got saved, where she was, how her parents got saved, how her parents were in the Catholic Church. "But I'm not going back to the Catholic Church because I'm saved, and I'm not going there. And I'd rather not go to church than go to the Catholic Church." And I thought she was going to start preaching. I started writing down notes for another sermon that I'll preach one day. But 2 doors later, I got to talk to a lady by the name of Cynthia. I said, "Cynthia, do you know for sure, how sure are you that you're going to heaven?" She said, "Oh, I'm 100% sure." And I said, "Could you tell me why?" And she said, "Because I'm a good person." I said, "Cynthia, I'm sure you are. Cynthia, could I share with you what the Bible says about our being good and whether it's good enough?" And after about 15 or 20 minutes, Cynthia put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know what we should be hungry for? We should be hungry for holiness. We should be hungry for understanding. We should be hungry for new converts. We should hunger for God's word. That G there, for God's word. I plead with you, don't make the Bible a textbook while you're here in college. It's a love letter. Man, I used to love coming back after work, and I'm sure the men on the platform may remember, but often they would put, we used to write letters and so forth, not just texting or phone calling, but often there'd be letters, and I'd look for a letter with my name on it. When we first started dating, after we were in the like stage, "Man, I like you," and I wanted to read it several times. I put it in my pocket, and I'd read it over and over. I still have those letters. And when we were in the love stage, she'd tell me how she loved me, and "Oh, praise the Lord." And then we were in the engaged stage, and sometimes she'll send me a text, or I'll write her a letter, and she'll write me a letter. And it's kind of like God's word. It's God's word is our love letter, God's love letter to me and to you. And so I read it, and I say, "Man, I know that God loves me, and I read that God loved me this morning, but I've got to read the pages again to see exactly how God loves me." So we need to be hungry for holiness, for understanding, for new converts, for God's word. Next, the right mate. The right mate. The right mate. And also, I'd recommend while you're praying and you're hungry for the mate that God will give to you, you be the right type of mate. Prepare yourself. And then lastly, yielded to the Holy Spirit. I want to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. Luke 15:17, when it talks about the prodigal son, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger." I ask you the question as we go into the invitation this morning. I'm going to ask everyone to stand if you would. I'm going to ask if we could get a pianist to go to the altar this morning. Are you hungry this morning? And I ask you the question as they begin to play, for what are you hungry? For what are you hungry this morning? Maybe you have the right hunger and stay with it. Come to the altar and say, "Lord, I want to stay with the right hunger. I want to stay with the right things." But maybe there's somebody this morning that you've been hungering for the wrong things and you're going to leave empty. I plead with you, hunger for the right things, and he says he'll fill us.